We've been going through our series, Lost and Found. And you have your handouts. Hope you have a pen or pencil with which you can follow. Part one of our series was entitled, Show Us the Father. And again, we were reminded that indeed our Heavenly Father is just who He says He is, a God of love. He's a God that will go to any length to save His lost children. When Philip asks that question, Jesus says, have I been so long with you, Philip, that you have not known me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Of course, when we looked at the story of the prodigal son, we recognize it's two stories in one, because there's also the other lost son. While his younger brother may have been lost, while his younger brother may have been lost in the world, the other brother was lost in the house. The alternate title of that message was The Unfinished Symphony, because we weren't told in that parable just how it ended. And it would be left to us to script that last part of that song. How are you going to end that song? Are you angry and condescending when someone who has spent their life in righteous living comes back to church? Are you ready to cavil and to criticize? Let's not be like that older brother who was lost in the house. But by the grace of God, let's accept the entreaty of the Father. I want to remind you about that sermon called The Forgotten Water Pot by Pastor Nelson. I consider it a part of this series because she indeed was lost. She was looking for water, water that could only quench the thirst temporarily, but Jesus was here to offer her living water. Friends, we need living water today. I pray that it is your prayer. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be in me a spring bubbling up into everlasting life, that I will not quench. I will not be thirsty, and it will not be quenched. Help me, Lord, please. Lost and Found Part 3. It's more than a coin. Remember that? We recognize that this parable really has two beautiful meanings. The coin was still silver, even though it was lost in the dirt and the muck of that muddy house. It was still silver. It was still precious. And it still had the image of the king of the day stamped right on him, on it. The silver represents those who are lost and are not conscious of the fact that they're lost. But even though they're lost, they're still precious. And they're precious because they have the image of God stamped on them, albeit marred and dirty by sin. Jesus wants to find that piece of silver and to clean it off because it's precious. He paid a lot for it. We also recognize that the woman here is a married woman. She was given these 10 pieces as the token of her marriage. She wears it with pride in a headdress. And when she loses one, it can be indicative of either unfaithfulness or carelessness. You'll remember that when Israel got married to God there at Mount Sinai, He gave them 10 precious coins of truth. We recognize over the years, especially in the dark ages, one of those coins got lost. The very one He said, remember. I pray that that coin is found and we do not lose the meaning of that coin even today. It's probably on the verge of being lost again, but I pray that this church, among many others, will hold the light. Make sure that that coin is not lost. Not traded for a worthless counterfeit. One that does not have the imprint of the Master. Today, our sermon is entitled, The Value of One. The Value of one. Go with me to your notes. And look with me as we study today. Important are the lessons that are to be gained in the parable of the lost sheep. By giving this parable, Jesus seeks to address his what? His welcome. That word is very important. We'll come back to that in just a moment. His welcome of those who were viewed as what? Outcasts by the Jewish religious class. Have mercy. In his audience were those who thought themselves, what is that word? Right. Yeah, you got it right. Right with God. But who stood only to do what? To criticize the work of the true shepherd. Have mercy. Also in the crowd were those who could do what? Appreciate the principles being taught. There were shepherds and men of wealth who had invested much in such livestock and who understood the value of each animal. May we get a closer perspective of our true shepherd and learn to reflect more of his love for others as we study his word today. I hope you got these on your notes. Now I want you to pay close attention as we look on the screen.
This man receiveth sin. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.
What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which I had lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Go with me in your Bibles to that very passage. Luke chapter 15. As we take that image and paint a mental picture in our minds of the setting where Jesus was, this is very important for us to understand. I'm going to begin at verse 1. The Bible says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained. They did what? Complained. Oh, have mercy, my friends. Beware of chronic church grumblers. chronic church grumblers do nothing but cripple the ship. Do nothing but cause pain and antagonism in the church. Looking for errors, all they could find is something wrong with what's going on, just to point out the problem. Chronic church grumblers. I didn't come up with that term. It's borrowed from Ellen White. Go look it up. So we find here the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, they weren't all that way. Because later on, we know that some who actually listened, who actually allowed their hearts to be touched, in the book of Acts, it tells us that they became a part of his disciples. And they supported the work by their means. Nicodemus was one of those. He gave his wealth to support the work of the gospel. So don't cast everybody off. But if you have a tendency to complain and criticize, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Verse 2, I read it again. It says, the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man does what? Receive. He receiveth sinners. That word there is prosdekamai in the Greek. And what that really means is this. P-R-O-S, that prefix, it means he goes towards. It means to move towards. And a better translation would be to welcome. Hence that word in our opening. To welcome sinners. It's in the indicative voice, which means it's a reality. It's an action that's taking place. He takes the initiative. He takes it as his duty to go towards the sinners. You know, if Jesus had a Facebook page, have mercy. Mary Magdalene would be a part of his friends group. Zacchaeus would be among his friends. There would be Matthew, also another tax collector there. There would be the outcast of the woman with the issue of blood. She would have friended Jesus, and Jesus would have accepted. Of course, the Pharisees on their Facebook page, they probably would have been trying just to seek around, looking on his page to see who is he friends with now. Trying to track him and say, oh, he's friends with that one? Oh, he's friends with that. Look who he just accepted as a friend. Can you believe it? We call them Facebook trolls. But anyway, I digress. He was there, and the setting had all of these people. There were shepherds who would have been there. There would have been men of wealth. Of course, we know the Pharisees and the scribes, they were there, and they all understood the parable Jesus was trying to share. The parable, my friends, was in part a rebuke on those who were listening. But Jesus found a way to share the story. That's all right. The sheep know the voice. Amen. If you're listening to the CD of a recording, you don't know what happened. But a nice little lamb just came forward. Amen. And as he was saying, they would understand the parable and recognize that patient rebuke. He didn't take the time to point them out just yet, because he was still trying to reach their hearts. But Jesus had to preach and say what needed to be said. Amen. And so after they made that statement, this man receiveth sinners and eats with them, he spoke the parable saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Friends, this is so very, very important. Here we have in this parable, Jesus using something that was near and dear to the hearts of his hearers. He used this parable of sheep. He knows that sheep are animals that are, they don't have a very good sense of direction. They're not, if you want to call on the higher level of intelligence, their IQ is sadly very low. And he says, which one of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, you do not leave the 99 and you go out searching and looking until you find that one which was lost? And then he says, and when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over how much? How many? One. One sinner who repents, and over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they knew the Bible very well. But it is one thing to have knowledge about something and not understand the wisdom behind it. Knowledge profits nothing except just to puff up if it's not put to the right use. Because the very same scrolls that they studied, it had a psalm in there called Psalm 119. And if you go there with me to Psalm 119, verse 176, here we find David saying something from the heart of a shepherd. Psalm 119, verse 176. Here's what the Bible has to say. He says, let me start at verse 175. Let my soul live and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. Verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost what? Sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The sheep, though it is astray, he knows that he is lost. It can't find its way home. And so David the shepherd now saying of himself, Lord, seek me. This very psalm, this very verse in the psalm was something that Jesus himself was then fulfilling. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You recognize that. Point number one, the sheep knows it's lost, but what, everyone? Cannot find its way back. Put that in on your notes. It's the first thing that we know about the sheep. It's lost, but cannot find its way back. Go with me to the book of Romans. What book? Romans. Romans chapter 3. By the way, these verses are there on your notes. Romans chapter 3. And let's look at verse 11. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, and there is none who does what? Who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. If any man thinks himself to be righteous. The Apostle Paul here in the book of Romans was reminding them of something that the psalmist himself said. Indeed, Jesus was himself speaking here in parabolic language to the very Pharisees. He said, my friends, you think yourself to be just and right and righteous? Knowest thou not what the scriptures say? We're lost. You're lost without the shepherd. These very ones that you despise, they are the ones to whom I have laid my life on the line to receive. So yes, the sheep knows it's lost, but it cannot find its way back. And so, the shepherd, He doesn't allow himself to sleep. He loses sleep over the fact that he thinks there's something wrong with the fold. He doesn't allow slumber to come to his eyelids until He knows that everything is well. So what does a shepherd do? What did the true shepherd do? He left the glory of heaven. In the first instance, the 90 and 9 represents those worlds that have not fallen. And yes, he's happy and thankful and he's joyful about these ones, but he's willing to leave heaven and go down. He is willing to leave heaven and stoop to the lowest ebb in the universe just to find that one renegade planet and restore humanity. You saw there in that clip how the shepherd, he's on the cliffs. How he's there in the rain. He's risking wild beasts just to find that one little sheep. Who knows it's lost. He knows that there's something is wrong. And all he could say is, bah, bah, bah. And the longer it takes, the fainter he gets. But the shepherd will not stop. He will go to as far as he needs to go to find that one sheep. So point number two. The shepherd takes what, everyone? The initiative to find the lost sheep. Oh, don't believe that little Bo Peep has lost her sheep story. Don't leave them alone. They're not going to come home. That's the nursery rhyme. But in reality, the lost sheep doesn't come back. The shepherd has to go and find. And so we're asking God, even today, Lord, give us a little bit of your heart to help to seek and to save that which is lost. And so he goes out. He goes out there on that hard, arduous search. What do we know? Point number three, the shepherd does what? Risks his life to find the very least. The very least. Risks his life to do that. What do we find here in Christ's Object Lessons, page 187? In the parable, the shepherd goes out to search for one sheep. The very least that can be numbered. You can't get any lower than one and still remain a whole. So if there had been but one lost soul, Christ would have what? Died for that one. The sheep that has strayed from the fold is the most helpless of all creatures. It must be sought for by the shepherd, for it cannot find its way back. So with the soul that has wandered away from God, he is as helpless as the lost sheep. And unless divine love had come to his rescue, he could never find his way to God. Have mercy. As you think and as you sit, you might be wondering, is that the case for so-and-so or for so-and-so? Is there a role for me to play? Oh, my friends, the Holy Spirit can indeed give us the power and the will to be a part of his mission team to find, to seek, and to save that which is lost. I want you to recognize that God himself was the very first missionary. Amen. Mission was God's idea. When Adam and Eve was lost, what did God do? He went to seek them. Amen? Well, let's look at point number four. The shepherd does not what? Rest until he is successful in finding that which is lost. Oh, so very important. Very, very important. I want us to go over to very quickly to Ezekiel chapter 34. Let's look at another text in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 34. And we're going to go to verse 12. Let's start at verse 11. The Bible says, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." Isn't that beautiful? You see the unity here of all the scripture? Verse 12, "As a shepherd seeks out his flock On the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from what? From all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. You think of the history of God's church. There has been a very, very dark period through which much of God's people were lost. And today, though he's not here in person, he sends his spirit to empower those who are following after him to help to find those who are lost. And so, like the shepherd, will you not rest until you are successful in helping to find those who are lost? Now, let me say something right here. In the crowd of those who were listening, there were those who were lost but thought that they weren't lost and they didn't want to be found. Are you with me? Those weren't the ones who would receive the entreaty of Jesus. And if someone refuses to take your entreaty, you will have to step back. But don't consider your mission to be unsuccessful, because there are others who are still waiting and hoping to be found. They know they're searching for something, but they can't tell you exactly what it is. And when you bring that to them, they will say, I've been waiting for this so long. There are stories and testimonies that people right here in this room can share of when they brought that message just at that time, and it was received with gladness. Oh, have mercy. What else do we find? Point number 5. Notice what we read there in the scripture. When he finds that sheep, what does he do? He lifts it up and puts it on what? His shoulders. So point number 5, the shepherd does not drag the sheep back to the fold, but carries it on his shoulders. Oh, somebody say, love lifted me. When nothing else could help. Love what? Love lifted me. Here was love. Jesus Christ himself, the epitome of love. And he was here to carry the sin-sick world on his shoulders. He wasn't here to drag the sheep back into the fold. He wasn't here to browbeat or even to lead that lost sheep. No, when he finds that lost sheep, he spares no effort, but he stoops even lower to lift that sheep. If that sheep needed anointing, he would do that. David speaks of the shepherd who anoints the head with oil. It would help to get rid of those worms or those maggots, those insects that probably would have tried to find a nest in the flesh of the sheep. Those sins that get the better of us, Jesus knows how to anoint our head with oil. What is that oil? The Holy Spirit, who knows how to soothe and to relieve. The one who gives us the power to overcome. So the shepherd, he lifts that sheep. He stoops down and lifts it all the way up, and he carries that sheep back home. When he gets back, what does he do? Point number 6. The shepherd what? Celebrates. The shepherd celebrates the return of the sheep and does not scold the sheep before the fold. Have mercy. Oh, you didn't get it. Doesn't scold that lost sheep before the fold for all the pain and anxiety it has caused. You know how we've been weeping over here for you? Oh, you knew better. Oh, what did you do? Oh, we want to... Oh, I won't even go there. Happy to celebrate the return, because that which was lost is found. Amen? So look at what we find. The value of a soul. Who can estimate? Would you know its worth? If you want to, the advice is to do what? Go to Gethsemane. Go to the oil press. And there watch with Christ through those hours of anguish when his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Look upon the Savior uplifted on the cross. Hear that despairing cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look upon the wounded head, the pierced side, the marred feet. Remember that Christ risked how much? All. For our redemption, heaven itself was imperiled at the foot of the cross. Remembering that for one sinner Christ would have laid down his life, you may now estimate the value of one. $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, whatever it is you spend on evangelistic series. You think that matters anything, a hill of beans to God? We're going to complain over, $100 here, where did that $100 go? Is that what things are going to boil down to? But of course, I'm preaching to the choir here. The life of the eternal God is the value of one soul. That's how much he was willing to pay for just one. Just one. That cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You recognize, my friends, this is the sinner's cry. This is the cry that those who have indeed been let go, who finally experience total separation from God, this is the pain that they will have to endure. Jesus has endured it for you and for me. That's the value. That's the value of one soul. And he was willing to stoop and to go. You know what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8? He says, while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you look at the story, and if you go back and you check out rabbinical history, they taught that God was happy over the destruction of one sinner. So when Jesus said there is joy in heaven over one who repents, he was actually rebuking that school of thought. And so when you study Jewish history and Jewish culture and the rabbinical schools, you understand that's why Jesus made that statement. Because they taught that if one sinner was destroyed, God was pleased because that person got exactly what they deserved. Oh no. Not only that, God doesn't wait for the sinner to repent before he goes on his mission to receive. That's exactly what Jesus was rebuking in the heart of the Pharisees. He receiveth sinners. Oh, they need to fix themselves up. They need to straighten up and before they come. If this man were a prophet, he would like to be amongst us. He would have friended us on our Facebook page. Have mercy. The heart of the Lord. He comes to seek and to save that which was lost. So, my dear friends, you look at that very last verse on your sheet. It's John chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And you might say, well, you know, I'm not necessarily a shepherd. Well, you know what? Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this. Than a man would do what? Lay down his life for his friends. To what degree will you go? By the grace of God, as far as you're able, to call that one back to a fold of safety. He's calling today. He's asking today, will you be a part of my missionary team? Will you be a part of those who will join me in the effort of salvation? If you have experienced of it, if you have tasted of the heavenly gift, will you? Will you join me? So as we get ready to sing this closing song, as we get ready to sing this, I pray that you will sing this with new zeal. It's hymn number 367. Hymn number 367. Rescue the perishing. Correct? Care for the dying. Snatch them. Snatch them from sin. This song is a song that, like the actions of Jesus, is intentional. It's active. It's one that requires an initiative from those who are in a right relationship with their Lord. Do you want to say that you want to be a part of those who help to rescue others? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. And so let's stand and sing this song together as we close. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying.
Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying.
Please bow your heads with me as we pray. This prayer is not merely just for the benediction, but a prayer really to seek God and ask God to give us the heart of a shepherd, the heart of a friend, a brother, or a sister who would be willing just to go that extra mile to help to save someone. You never know. You never know what life will bring. Maybe you're distant miles away and you've been afraid to send a text message because you probably didn't want to offend. Or you were afraid to make that phone call and ask a friend of yours, how's your relationship with the Lord? I want to challenge you. This is not the prayer yet. I'm not praying. But I want to challenge you take that initiative this week to help to seek that one person. This is between you and the Lord. You're not making a report of this. But just make that phone call. Send that text message. Say, I'm praying for you. I love you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I was a little uncomfortable today. Father, because there's a burden that's on my heart. Father, many hearts today are burdened. So, Lord, you have told us to take that burden to you, because you alone can carry it, and you will give us strength. You will yoke us up with yourself. We may be carrying a load on behalf of someone else. Father, we ask that you will take it all. And Lord, that you will use us according to your word in Philippians 2:13 to will and to do according to your good pleasure. To help, Lord, to seek and to save those who are lost. So, Father, as we look forward to next week, Lord, to go out in the community, as we look forward to the weeks ahead, Lord, as we look forward to a possible reaping series, Father, may there be those who will respond as we go out in faith. Lord, it's not easy. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But, Lord, strengthen us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.